I'm going to introduce our guest speaker for this weekend. He's my good friend, Daniel Ferrito. So Dr. Daniel Ferrito, he currently serves as the English pastor at the Chinese Christian Church of Greater Albany. So he received a Master of Divinity in 2014 and a PhD in theology in 2019 from Mid-America Baptist Theological Seminary. And he is crazy enough to work on a second PhD right now in Greek and New Testament at Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. So Daniel, he has a heart for preaching the gospel and for missions. He has served in many different countries, including India and Cuba, with an organization that's called Equipping Leaders International. And he also teaches seminary classes there, train and mentor pastors and church leaders, where like some of these like theological trainings are like really much needed. So Daniel, he enjoys Star Wars, Star Trek, Lord of the Rings, and other nerdy things. So he's a big nerd. Okay, let's welcome Daniel as he comes up and he speaks to us. So, I don't know, what you can use this mic here. Like, what other nerdy things do you like to...
I like to garden. I like to cook.
I'm not sure if gardening and cooking are nerdy.
Board games?
Yeah, board games are nerdy.
Appreciate that introduction.
Yes, he's a nerd. Yeah, you can use this mic here.
Okay. Good morning, everyone. I'm going to ask for the time because we have a half hour. If you would use your hardcover Bibles, there are ones over there if you don't have one, but just keep your phones away. In my church, the youth are not allowed to use their phones during Sunday school or services, which was a tough transition, but I think it's for the best. Let me start my timer here. So this morning we're going to be in the book, the Old Testament book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 26. If you would turn there, we're going to read verses 1 through 23. And the title of the message is Learning the Consequences of Pride. Learning the Consequences of Pride. But remember, all the messages this weekend are going to be under the general category of who's number one. And let me explain just what I mean when I say that. What we can do is, in our hearts, ignore God. You can still go to church or do like devotional time, but it's like we're just going through the motions. A different way to think of it is we have time blocked out for the Lord in our lives, maybe even daily. We have our God time. But then once we do that, it's like we've checked the box and we fulfilled the category, and then we go on about our lives seeking our own desires. So I don't want God to be number one on the top of a list of many things, and once you do number one, then you go on to the others. But really, if God is number one, if Jesus Christ number one is in your hearts, then he is in all things with you, no matter what those things are on your list. And this morning, we're going to look at the life of a man, a king, whose name was Uzziah, who started out strong, following the Lord, in a sense, kind of like King Solomon, if you're familiar with his story. But because Christ, in the Old Covenant context, was not firmly rooted in his heart, we see after a time, though he looks very Christ-like, and God blesses him, he deviates from the path. And there's a deep lesson here for us in our lives as well. Now, I know many of you don't know me. I think I've been spoken at your church once, and I'm glad to be here again. But I'm also, as you can tell, from a different background. I know the American culture and my own Italian culture fairly well. But I've also spent 2 years ministering among ABC, also mainland and Taiwan, different contexts, and even in the Cantonese group. So I know some of the things that my own youth and others struggle with, the sins, the idols, and we're going to kind of talk about some of those things today because those are the things that are competing for the affections of your heart, which is what God is after. So let's look at chapter 26, verses 1 through 23. We're going to read this and then jump in, okay? And all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king instead of his father Amaziah. He built Eloth and restored it to Judah after the king slept with his fathers. Uzziah was 16 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. And he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, according to all his father Amaziah had done. He set himself to seek God in the days of Zechariah, who instructed him in the fear of God, and as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. He went out and made war against the Philistines and broke through the wall of Gath and the wall of Jebna and the wall of Ashdod. And he built cities in the territory of Ashdod and elsewhere among the Philistines. God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians who lived in Gurbaal and against the Maonites. The Ammonites paid tribute to Uzziah, and his fame spread even to the border of Egypt, for he became very strong. Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate and at the valley gate and at the angle and fortified them. And he built towers in the wilderness and cut out many cisterns, for he had large herds, both in the Shephelah and in the plain. And he had farmers and vine dressers in the hills and in the fertile lands, for he loved the soil. Moreover, Uzziah had an army of soldiers fit for war in divisions according to the numbers in the muster made by Jael, the secretary, and Maaseiah, the officer, under the direction of Hananiah, one of the king's commanders. The whole number of the heads of the fathers' houses of mighty men of valor was 2,600. Under their command was an army of 307,500 who could make war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. And Uzziah prepared for all the army shields, spears, coats of mail, bows, and stones for slinging. In Jerusalem he made engines, invented by skillful men, to be on the towers and the corners, to shoot arrows and great stones. And his fame spread far, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. But when he was strong, he grew proud to his destruction. For he was unfaithful to the Lord, his God, and entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. But Azariah the priest went in after him with 80 priests of the Lord who were men of valor. And they withstood King Uzziah and said to him, "It is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for you have done wrong, and it will bring you no honor from the Lord God." Then Uzziah was angry. Now he had a censer in his hand to burn incense, and when he became angry with the priests, leprosy broke out on his forehead in the presence of the priests in the house of the Lord, by the altar of incense. And Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked at him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead. And they rushed him out quickly, and he himself hurried to go out, because the Lord had struck him. And King Uzziah was a leper to the day of his death, and being a leper, lived in a separate house, for he was excluded from the house of the Lord. And Jotham, his son, was over the king's household, governing the people of the land. Now the rest of the acts of Uzziah, from first to last, Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, wrote. And Uzziah slept with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the burial field that belonged to the kings, for they said, "He is a leper." And Jotham, his son, reigned in his place. First, look with me. This is big summary of the first half of what we just read, verses 1 through 15. As Uzziah obeys God, he is blessed. As Uzziah obeys God, he is blessed. In the passage, as we read this, twice we're told in the beginning, at least initially, the king Uzziah seemed to be demonstrating true faith. Say another way, as he trusted God, as he obeyed God, he sought the Lord and showed concern to do what is right in God's eyes. That's the heart of a believer. The world wants you to do whatever its priorities are, and in different ways, we all have a mix in our hearts of what those priorities are. It looks different in different cultures and in different countries, but the root, sin, pride, is the same. So God, by blessing the reign of King Uzziah, was also blessing his people, the nation of Israel. Look in verse 4. God says that he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, and in verse 5, he continued to seek God in the days of Zechariah. In other words, this is what the author and the divine author, God, is telling us. God desired to bless his people, and the kings were responsible for the governance of their people. And God put this man, Zechariah, an older, mature man of faith, in Uzziah's life to pour into him if he had the humility to actually listen and receive what God was trying to tell him. It's a good question for us to ask ourselves, not from me or from anyone else or for Pastor Ivan, but as we are faithful to minister the word, are you willing to receive what the wise counsel that you are told from the word has to say to you? Because you'll see conviction in your hearts over the sin that you struggle with. And at certain points, what will happen is those idols that remain hidden sometimes in your heart, when they become threatened, it's like Jesus versus the things that you really love in your hearts. And which one wins out? That's the question we're after this morning. Sometimes it's difficult for us to see blessings. So what we want to notice from this passage is Uzziah himself maybe has peripheral blessings, right? He doesn't have big piles of gold. He doesn't have maybe the best things of the world. But as he obeys God, the Lord is faithful to bless his people and to protect them and to keep him safe. One question we can ask ourselves is, when we apply this verse, what does God call us to do? In my church, what I do is I teach every passage in the Bible. We have five applications, general categories. Let me run through them because you're going to hear these all weekend. Every point I do, I'm going to apply in one of these ways. So first is worship or thanksgiving. How does this passage affect my worship of God? Second is prayer. How does this passage affect my prayer life? Third, faith response or action. What is it that I do in my relationship with the Lord in response to this passage? Fourth, discipleship. How does this passage affect how I pour into others? The call of a Christian is to disciple others. And then fifth, evangelism and missions. How does this passage affect my witness for Christ in the local church context? And missions is in unreached people groups around the world where there's no access to the gospel. Okay, so here's the application in this one for faith response action. Regardless of how much in this life you get what you want or not, the blessings you receive or not, God calls us to obey everything he tells us to do, and we are called to do that no matter where that path takes us. Are you willing to do that? If you're a Christian, your heart response to that is most likely, yes, right now I'm very enthusiastic, or at many times I am, but oftentimes I struggle with sin and I feel like the things I love fluctuate. That's an honest response from a Christian, because none of us love the Lord perfectly. But the world isn't concerned with that. They have no love for Jesus. So let us examine our own hearts. Second, look with me now at verse 16. First half of Uzziah. Blessing. God bless you. Now we see where he goes off course. Second, notice that our pride drives us to do things which God tells us not to do. Pride can come and seep into your heart in the most subtle ways. Maybe we don't even notice it. Uzziah, in this passage, strange to think he could get here after what we just read, goes and does something that is forbidden, but it's not like he can claim ignorance. He knows. In the Old Covenant, the role of the kings and the priests are very separate. Kings cannot do what priests are called to do by God, and vice versa. So he asks the question, Uzziah, how could you do this? I'm like, you already know it's bad. Why would you break God's command like this? It's explicit. And if we think about that, we don't have to think too long to know that each of us does the same thing in our own lives. Is there an area of your life where you know God has said you should not do this in His Word, and maybe you get convicted of it? Maybe you do it monthly, weekly, daily, more, but somehow your heart justifies holding on to that thing which you're loving so much. This is the power of sin to corrupt and distort. Uzziah became angry, but before he became angry in our passage, he became strong and proud, and he acted corruptly. Now, this is very interesting because if you read earlier in the Old Testament, Moses specifically warns Israel, says when God blesses you, you haven't gone into the land of promise yet, the land of milk and honey, but when God gives it to you, the temptation is, look what I've done. I've acquired this of my own. Yeah, God was there to help, but really I'm the one who did it. We did it. And so it's kind of like when you have a test upcoming and your teacher says, this is a really, really difficult part of this calculus test or whatever. We spend like an entire class going through this. This will be on the test, right? Prepare for it. This is exactly what God did in the situation. Through Moses says, be careful when you reach that place of success that you do not turn away from the Lord and think that you did it to your own credit and become proud. That's exactly what happens to Uzziah here. He knows what's on the test upcoming. God has told him multiple times, but he ignores it. Uzziah's name is actually very important. We say Uzziah in English. In Hebrew, it's pronounced Otzeyahu, which means this. In Hebrew, it's a combination of two words, and his name means my power is Yahweh, or my power is I am. So it's interesting that the man whose very name means I don't really have strength, but God is my strength, begins being faithful to his name by faith, but at the end of his life, abandons the Lord's strength and thinks that he has done this on his own. One of the dangers of living as a Christian in America is that we are very materially blessed, and there's a danger of us relying on our family, our own ability to provide ourselves for ourselves, to be secure in what we can accomplish, and kind of keep God outside and on the periphery of that. Those are some big idols that I've seen. Success, as I define it, material possessions, money, intelligence, degrees, those can all take the place of God if you're not careful. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to work hard, not at all, or to study. Those are important things. But the question is, in your hearts, what wins out? Is it God or those? Are you putting God in the midst of those things? Does he reign supremely? Or if you have a big test coming up, do you just skip church for 2, 3, 4 weeks? Because that's more important. Here's an application. This is for prayer life. Pray something like this. This is just the prayer that I wrote. Lord, I confess, and you know that I have idols in my life. Even as a Christian, I know this. And I can't even see them. Father, please open my eyes to those things in my life that I love more than you, or that sometimes take the place of you. As Christians, it's not as if when we come to faith, all the idols in our life are broken. Right? You might have idols in your life that you won't even see for decades or years. Or maybe now, from whenever it was you were born again, you can say, here's one area I've seen God convicted me of. Maybe I'm still struggling with it. Or maybe I've changed and he's given me victory. Or he's given me a measure of victory. But we have to deal with the pride in our lives, the idolatry, or we'll end up like Uzziah, which we're coming up to. Third, from verses 17 through 18. Notice that faith opposes pride. Faith opposes pride. The priest, the chief priest in the text, his name is Azariah. He took a group of faithful priests with him and pursued the king into the temple, right? The king went into the temple to do this. It should be another example of how prideful he became in order to resist him. Now, it's important to understand this confrontation, right? You say, as a priest, important, yes, even high priest, important. In those days, it's not like in America, if you break a law, there's legal ways of dealing with things. You can go to prison, there's courts, things like that. Uzziah could very simply have said, how dare you speak to me that way? Guards, right, guards all around him, obey anything. Take those priests out and kill them now. Like, he could very literally have done that. So these priests actually have a demonstration of faith that King Uzziah does not. They're willing to take their lives at risk, literally, to oppose the king, the most important person in the land, who should, above all others, be doing what is right in the eyes of God in order to be faithful to the Lord. This is true faith we see on the part of the priests. In our hearts, we can't have competing loyalties. In older days of America, maybe 100, 150 years ago, it was common to see at ports or even in cities sometimes. This was a source of entertainment before entertainment got to the degree it is now in America. This sport called bare-knuckle boxing, right? This is before they cared about people getting hurt or it became big money. You would just have people in kind of a makeshift ring, no protection on their hands, and they would slug it out until someone couldn't get up anymore. This is called bare-knuckle boxing. Now, that's a physical illustration, but spiritually, if you're a Christian here, this is a struggle that you wage every day. Your pride, your desire, versus God and to do his will. And that can be very subtle, right? I was talking with another pastor friend the other day, and we arrived on this issue of, I realized I want to do God's ministry, and I want to do his will, and I want to fulfill the calling, but I want that to look like what I want it to look like, right? What is that? That's pride. It's like saying to God, I'm going to tell you how I minister for you. It sounds ridiculous when you say it that way, but that's part of the heart struggle. Can anyone else relate to that? Here's another application, a separate one. This is for discipleship. The things which compete against Christ, God does not say, grace, it's okay, so you don't worry about them. That's a misunderstanding of grace. God's chief desire is to conform you, to change you, to be more like Jesus. So he actually has commands, like Paul says in the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verse 5. Therefore, put to death that which is worldly in you, for on account of these things the wrath of God is coming upon the ungodly. God bless you. So is there a source of pride in your heart somewhere that is leading you away from deeper relationship with Christ and dampening your witness for him? What will you do about that? Disciples, that is what God calls you to do, to deal with those things. Fourth, from verses 19 through 20, now we see God judges Uzziah's disobedience. God judges Uzziah's disobedience. Now, we would think that maybe when Uzziah is confronted, he's like, ah, yes, of course, I've sinned. How could I have not seen it? Now I'll do what is right. But is that his response in the passage? He gets angry. Why does he get angry? Is it a strange response? How do you respond when something you love gets threatened? You hold on to it tightly. You respond in anger because it's precious to him. His ability to do whatever he wants is precious, even if God says, you should not do that. So Uzziah goes beyond the bounds of what God says. And he's angry that the priests confront him. But in response to that disobedience, look what happens. God gets angry too, doesn't he? In response, God strikes him with leprosy. In fact, this judgment is not even delayed. in verse 19, it actually happens in the moment. In the moment, he was angry toward the priest, holding the incense in his hand, about to burn it, but hadn't burned it yet. God goes, leprosy. Judgment doesn't always come immediately. It's often delayed. But in this case, it comes instantaneously. Here's the point. Sin in our lives brings consequences. And if you think about this, God's delay in judgment is actually a gift to you. It's a blessing to me and to you because it gives us time to repent and get our lives right with the Lord. It's kind of a two-edged sword, though, because you could think, well, yes, it's a good thing if I actually heed the call of faith and repent and get right. But you know, one of the ways God brings judgments on a people and a nation is by letting them pursue the sinful things that they want. That's what's going on in our country right now. Further and further away from God. And things are getting better, aren't they? No. Not at all. God promises that he will deal with our sin, and he is the judge who does deal with all sin. Here's a different application. This is for evangelism and missions. If you're a Christian, you know the gospel, and it is precious to you. The fact that Christ died and bore your sins on the cross and rose on the third day is the only means by which you are saved. His blood covers over all of your transgressions. And to the degree that you value Christ and see him for being beautiful and beyond all measure as number one, you will also see how vile your own sin was in the past and continues to be in the present if it weren't for the blood of Christ. What will you do with that gospel? Will you take that with you to school, share with your friends, when you go to college? Are you living Christ now, being that light? That is the number one most important thing that matters above all else. Fifth, from verse 21. So we have to ask this question because Uzziah presents sort of a difficult issue. Is God pleased with partial faith? And what does that mean, partial faith? So when we look at the life of Uzziah, we're tempted here to make some wrong conclusions based on asking questions that the Bible isn't concerned about. Don't worry about things that the Bible doesn't focus on. There's lots of sort of philosophical questions we can ask, and some of those are fun. But the whole point of the Bible is to focus on the main things that the Bible focuses on, and that is God's plan of redemption through his Son for his chosen people. For example, we could ask this question. Even though Uzziah committed one horrible sin here, because of all the good that Uzziah had done previously and how much God blessed him, why doesn't God just overlook this one instance of evil in his life? And he's not the only person that we could ask this question about. Moses spends years ministering to an unfaithful people that God takes around in a big circle in the desert for 40 years. And then, right before entering the promised land, instead of speaking to the rock to bring forth water, what does he do? He hits it in anger. And God says, can't go into the promised land because of that. The point of this is sin, whether we think it is great or small, is actually an act of rebellion against God. It's an affront to a holy and righteous judge. So the danger for us is to have kind of one foot in the church in Christ, one foot in the world, and think we can have both at the same time. Do you see the danger in that? Mixing loyalties in your heart? John says this, 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the things in the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Are you growing in your love for Christ? Loving the things that God loves, hating the things that he hates, and there are lots of things that God hates according to the Bible. And at the same time, is your love for the things of the world diminishing? Not perfection. Again, none of us. I don't love Jesus perfectly by any means. I'm growing in that. But the question is there any true love for Christ? Affection. Here's a different application for this. This is a praise worship. Father, I thank you that you have given me faith. My faith is partial, and I struggle often. In fact, sometimes I don't even know if it's worth it because all I have to go through is very difficult, and it's beyond my ability often to cope with. But I pray a prayer of thanksgiving and gratitude for the faith that you have given me and opened my eyes to see Christ. Please increase my faith to know him more and to love him more. Interestingly, when Uzziah becomes the leper king, his son Jotham takes over. And you know what Jotham's name means? Names are very important in the Old Testament. Jotham means Yahweh is perfect, meaning, in the context, God's striking of his father Uzziah with leprosy is a righteous and true judgment, and it is perfect. Because I assure you, there are people saying, how could God do this? Look at all that Uzziah did in the kingdom. He's given us victory over all of our enemies, the Philistines, the Arabians, the Mayanites. They pay us tribute, right? Can't he just look over this one little thing? Well, the answer is no, God does not look over sin. We must fully be committed in our hearts to the Lord always. Last, from verse 6. Learning the lessons of Uzziah's evil from verses 22-23. This is an interesting way of remembering a king. Imagine if in 100 years someone comes to your grave after you've passed and they see written there, the leper king. What a way to be remembered, right? What's remembered? All the victories that Uzziah had conquered for the Lord, all the great things that he had done? Not at all. Only the judgment that the Lord brought upon him. Now, I'm not saying you should care as much about what other people think of you as what God thinks of you. That's what's most important. But as we pass through this life, the question we want to ask is, what do we leave in our wake behind us? Christ-likeness? An influence of Jesus on others? Or is it just a rippling outward of selfishness and self-pursuit? Uzziah here was cut off from the house of the Lord, and the point of that being in the text is that his sin had caused a separation between him and God. God's blessing had been removed from him because of his actions. There's an old saying that says, those who do not learn from the mistakes of the past are destined to repeat them. In our life as Christians, we have the ability to learn a few ways. Let me just give you one more example here. In history, the nation of Afghanistan has sometimes been referred to as the graveyard of empires, and this is because many different empires, including the British Empire, which was the largest the world has ever seen, and the biblical reference to Alexander the Great and the Macedonian Empire, more recently the Soviet Union, even the U.S., have been involved there. And no one, it seems, has learned the lesson of Afghanistan because it has broken many empires as they've spent resources trying to subjugate the peoples and incorporate it into their empires. Just nobody learns the lesson. Everybody knows, but nobody learns the lesson. We have the opportunity to learn from the life of King Uzziah. We do not have to get to the point where God disciplines us, because if you're a Christian, he'll allow you to indulge your sin for a time, maybe for an extended amount of time, but he will discipline you. And discipline is not always something that feels good. You can heed the conviction from the Holy Spirit, learn from your pastors and older men and women of faith who disciple you. That's the right way to learn, to avoid the hardships. But often, we have to learn through our own sins and mistakes and failures before we truly learn the lessons God is trying to teach us. A couple of closing points, and then we're finished. That last application is for discipleship. If God has put people in your life to pour into you, even if it's not intentional, though it should be, those are blessings from God to teach you lessons that maybe you wouldn't otherwise learn. Do you have ears to hear, a heart that's humble and willing to receive? When I was young, I specifically remember instances when I wouldn't listen. This old guy doesn't know what he's talking about. Who does he think he is to share these things with me? A lesson we can learn from the life of Uzziah is those things of the past. Sometimes we get stuck in them and we feel guilt or shame over them. Or the opposite, we take pride in them and we carry them into our present. God cares much less about those things than how you're living for Jesus now in your present. He cares much more about the fruit that you're bearing since, if you're born again, than all the evil and wickedness that you did before you were born again. The Bible calls this carnality, filth, rebellion against God. The grace of God, this is where we bring in the grace of God, cleanses you from these things. Is this your relationship with God? Is that how you could describe it? One last point. Maybe you're up to the halfway story and you're following the Lord. That's good. What will the rest of your story be? Uzziah made the wrong choices and went away from the Lord. Will you stay on the straight and narrow? But if you realize maybe, I don't know if I'm on the straight and narrow. I don't know if I'm a true believer. I'm just going through the motions because my parents make me go to church, or culturally this is what I do, or any other reason. But mostly I'm just going through the time on Sundays so that I can then go out and do the things I really want to do. This also is a blessing from God because you have time to get right with Him, to believe in Christ who died for your sins, and to be reconciled to Him. In the beginning of Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1, Isaiah, when he receives his call to ministry from the Lord, we read this. He says, "In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple." God waits until Uzziah dies before he sends Isaiah the prophet to preach the word to the people of Israel and to return them to himself. God does not deal with sin in the life of his people if we are not willing to deal with it ourselves. Is there anything, doesn't have to be kingship, right? None of us are kings. But is there anything in your heart that is causing pride for you? What does this look like? Well, yes, even if I see something and God convicts me of it, I look over to person on my left or right and say, oh, this is how I justify it. I'm not as bad as this person. I don't waste as much time as this person. Or thinking of reasons why I'm self-justified. If you have responses like that, that's pride that needs to be dealt with. And Christ is here to heal you of those things. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you that you came to save us, not just from leprosy, perhaps in a physical sense, where we struggle with different things of this world. But Lord, in truth, we all have spiritual filth that comes upon us because of our sin. We may not recognize ourselves as being as unqualified as Uzziah is to stand before you in your presence, holy and accepted and beloved. But Lord, spiritually, we are all in that place. We thank you for the blood of your Son, which saves us and cleanses us. We ask that you would help us to learn the consequences of where, if unchecked, our pride can take us. And Lord, if we can pray this way, taking the statement by John the Baptist, we ask that you would help us to decrease in ourselves, so that Christ may be increased in us. The world doesn't need a better Daniel. The world needs less Daniel and more Jesus. Father, we pray that you would continue to work in our lives. We glorify you, and we thank you that for your faithful ones, you direct our paths and discipline us, even when we do not even understand what is best for us. We praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.